This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. David Bowie's Changes from his Best of Bowie album, one of 15 records you must own if you're an aspiring metrosexual. Metrosexual? Joining us now to enlighten us what the classification of metrosexual is and how to be one, if you want to be, is the author of The Metrosexual Guide to Style, a handbook for the modern man, Michael Flocker. He's with us from our bureau in New York, and welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thanks, Neil, and I thought that was an excellent choice to open the segment.
Well, first of all, what is a metrosexual?
Well, he's the new breed of man for the 21st century. He's hip, urban, sophisticated, and above all, stylish.
This is not your terminology, though. Somebody else came up with this?
Right. A writer named Mark Simpson, he's a British writer, and he wrote an article about David Beckham, the British soccer superstar, and he was trying to distinguish, after much gossip and speculation, is he heterosexual, is he homosexual, and he decided, no, he's a big, flaming metrosexual. He's sort of halfway in the middle in terms of stereotypes, and what's interesting about the phenomenon, I think, is that the very emergence of the term indicates that the stereotypical gap between what a gay man is assumed to be and what a straight man is assumed to be is narrowing. The metrosexual is the guy in the middle.
Our telephone number, if you'd like to join this conversation, is 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, or you can email us, TOTN, at npr.org. And if David Beckham is the model, and I guess you pick out a couple of other people, in terms of Jim Morrison for old rock and roll fans, why should men aspire to be more metrosexual?
Well, I just think, actually, it's empowering, to spend your life defending your masculinity and sort of restrict yourself to the sidelines clad in a button-down shirt and khaki pants is unnecessary. Men can be perfectly masculine but still embrace their feminine side, and it benefits you in the workplace, in romantic situations. You know, women have known for many, many, many years that if their hair looks right, they've got a great dress and a killer pair of shoes, they feel better about themselves. They radiate more confidence and they get a lot more positive attention.
Can women be metrosexuals?
Well, that may be the next book, The Metro Minx, but for now it's a term for men.
Let's get a caller in. Allison is on the line with us from Manhattan in New York.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air, Allison.
Hi. Actually, my comment was about the fact that there is no female counterpart to a metrosexual, that it's contingent on your being a man, and I guess the female counterpart to being a metrosexual, or you're leaning more toward not paying attention to fashion, is that you have low self-esteem.
Would that be accurate, do you think, Michael?
Well, actually, in terms of the female counterpart, I think the characters on Sex and the City might be an apt example of the counterpart, in that they indulge in traditionally feminine stereotypical behavior, such as shoe shopping and all of that. But their sexual practices and their social life is much more aggressive than past generations of women. So I think they, too, are sort of blending the masculine and feminine side. And that's what it is, really, is a masculine man who's not afraid of his feminine side.
Right. But isn't the idea of metrosexualism really catching on because it's a demographic for advertisers?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Madison Avenue loves this guy. You know,
right.
There's a whole new line of grooming products, cars, high-end vodkas, you name it. He's, you know, a consumer ideal at this point, really.
And presumably, beyond, L.L. Bean, maybe, his buying habits haven't been set yet.
No, and so there's a great competition. The men's fashion industry, for example, has really been booming in the last 10 years. Women's fashion has always been a strong business, but there's been a huge increase in the number of men's designer lines, and you know, even the images you see in the media, the billboards and ads in magazines depict men in a very different way. They're more objectified than they were 20 years ago.
Right. Well, here's another question. Do you think that something like, I mean, I just see this as connected to something like Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Where
yep. It's all part of the same phenomenon, I think.
Right, but there isn't really a... I mean, you don't see lesbians. I can't imagine there being a show about women trying to, you know...
Yeah, I'm gonna have to pass on the jokes that are leaping to mind right now.
Thank you for that. Allison, appreciate the phone call.
Thank you.
I just got an email from Joanna Gilbert, who says she's seen the term FOMOsexual used in a letter in The Economist. So.
Ah, yes. That would be F-A-U-X.
F-A-U-X, yeah, absolutely. Spelling is an important part. Meredith joins us from Norfolk, Virginia.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Thank you
Hello.
For taking my call.
Sure.
I just wondered if either of you had seen the episode of South Park last night.
I was on against the ball game, so no, I didn't.
No, I missed it.
It totally centered on this whole thing.
Really?
Oh, that's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, basically, it was sort of a joke on Queer Eye for the Straight Guy because they were taking over all of the tough, burly men of South Park and turning them into stylish, neat, clean guys. And I thought, that whole term, metrosexual, I'd never heard that before, and now you guys are talking about it.
Well, see, even the little kids on South Park.
Exactly.
And, you know, I have to say, of course, you know, it's ripe for comedy. You know, any kind of anything that's, you know, sort of vanity related can be easily skewed. But, you know, as I always say, just because you paint the house doesn't mean the foundation is going to crumble.
Well, great. That's all I wanted to say. I just thought that was ironic.
Thanks very much,
Eric. It is.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
But this is more than a you know, manifesto for metrosexuals. This is an actual guide to your book, and there are some things in it that are fun and silly, appropriate times for nudity, for example. But you have really practical tips, how to tip, art history, wine.
Yeah, and I think that's the key to this book and why it's actually doing very well is that it's funny and lighthearted, but there's a lot of practical advice in there. You know, I thought a while ago that there's no one handbook for men that covers all the areas. You know, it's got a chapter on grooming, one on fashion, one on home decor, one on wines and cocktails. It's, you know, just in a nutshell, top 10 lists, do's and don'ts. And the funny thing is I got a lot of the top 10 lists from a particular brand of research I did, which was to collect a bunch of female friends, open a few bottles of wine, and get out my pad and pen. And I just asked them, what drives you nuts about men? You know, what are the most heinous grooming oversights you encounter? What are the what could a man wear on a date that would make you slam the door in his face? And I got a lot of material from them.
So there are tips, you know, shave after showering when your pores are open and your skin is softer. If you have a heavy beard, a wet shave with a razor is always closer than an electric razor. Use warm water, not hot water dehydrates the skin. This is all stuff I didn't know.
Yeah, and it may seem subtle, but actually, you know, it makes the difference between you walking out in the morning with a burning red face or, you know, looking smooth and clean. So these little tips, when, you know, added together, can really help improve a guy.
Email from David McMullen in Boston. I've never heard a person use the term metrosexual in conversation, but the media has been saturated with months now, and I think Mr. Flocker can take credit for that. To me, this seems a very artificial media creation designed probably to get men to buy lots of expensive products they haven't traditionally needed or wanted.
Well, as I said, I, you know, wouldn't deny that it is fueled by Madison Avenue and consumerism. But it's also become the trend. You know, it's sort of the norm now. And if you're going to be out in the world professionally, socially, it doesn't hurt to know what the rules are. You don't have to be a slave to fashion. You don't have to walk around, you know, 24 hours a day in a top hat and a boutonniere. But just knowing how to behave, what, you know, the differences are between wines and what you should and really shouldn't be wearing, it can only benefit you if you apply the knowledge as it is necessary.
We're speaking with Michael Flocker. His book is The Metrosexual Guide to Style, A Handbook for the Modern Man. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's go to Alex, who's on the phone in Durham, North Carolina.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air, Alex.
Hi. I just had a question for Michael, also about the South Park episode that was on last night. One of the points that they had made was that this whole metrosexual thing kind of took away from the culture of the homosexuals and kind of made them, I don't know, in the episode, it seemed like they were, it was stealing their culture and they weren't as, as, I guess...
pleased about it?
Yeah, they weren't so pleased about it. They kind of liked the fact that they were different and original, and other men weren't like them. Is there that sort of backlash going on with the metrosexual thing?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised to hear about something like that, but ultimately it's really no different than, you know, suburban teenagers adopting styles, hip-hop styles from, you know, inner-city culture that they see on television. Oh, did they? Well,
made that point.
They're stealing my shtick.
Alex, thanks very much.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's go now to Robert. Robert's in Fenimore, Wisconsin.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I find the term metrosexual, humorous because we used to just be called pretentious snobs, which I was always quite proud to be. Secondly, I would echo Alex's comment that I saw South Park 2 and I thought it was brilliant, that I think this is just another example of a majority culture appropriating that of a minority the same way we did with rock and roll and everything else.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, that's how trends are established. That's how things move into the mainstream and how social trends evolve.
Well, we're also told in the Metrosexual Guide to Style things not to do, for example, in fashion. Oh, thanks very much. I guess that was Robert hanging up. cowboy hats, they're over. Varsity jackets, colorful vests, Christmas sweaters, bolo ties, pleated or pre-cuffed jeans, acid-washed, anything. The list goes on. There's a lot of don't-dos as well.
Yeah, those came from the girls during the drink-up and note-taking.
I see.
But those, yeah, there's a lot of crimes. I mean, things that shocks me that anyone would do, but, you know, ties with short sleeves, you know, boots with shorts, the list goes on. And, you know, those are the real crimes, so you really, really should know those.
Let's try Bob. Bob in Munson, Maryland.
Hi. I just wanted to point out that 40 years ago, Playboy was playing a very similar role in transforming sort of 50s-era Americans into, you know, James Bond characters by telling them how to make martinis and how to set up a hi-fi and you know, what ties went with what suit, and even down to, you know, you should have a blue blazer in your closet and, you know, a pinstripe suit and this kind of suit and all that kind of thing. It's kind of interesting. In many ways, this is sort of a second step in that same direction, this sort of transformative advice for men to become, you know, cooler or in some way more stylish.
Yeah, and probably not the main reason, but one of the reasons Playboy was groundbreaking was precisely because of that, because they really addressed the modern man, the new man. You know, he was sexually liberated. He wasn't, you know, as repressed as his father's generation. And, yeah, that whole James Bond ideal, you know, it's not new, but...
I don't mean to suggest it's the same. I mean, it's similar in the sense that it took men out of their traditional roles as... you know, only being defined as fathers and husbands, and said, "No, you could be something different." And
you can swing.
But my sense of it is, you're saying, you know, you don't have to be a macho man. You can transform yourself into something else, and it doesn't make you any less of a man.
Exactly. And you know, I've been faced with the question: don't women want their men to be masculine? And I say, well, yeah, most women do. But masculinity is about behavior. It's not, you know, what you're wearing. Nobody's
right.
going to tell you that a mullet and crusty toenails are masculine. That's just,
right.
you know, wrong.
Right.
Bob, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And Michael Flocker, we appreciate your time today.
Well, I appreciate being on very much. Thank you.
Bob, Michael Flocker's book is The Metrosexual Guide to Style, a Handbook for the Modern Man. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News. This is another album that's key to one's metrosexuality, the best of Sade, Smooth Operator.